Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, June 18th. This is Susan Over. We will begin today's section with Council Eyes Vote on TIF Policy. Bloomington. The City of Bloomington would use tax increment financing for economic development only as a last resort under proposed TIF guidelines, which also stops short of guaranteeing taxing bodies such as Bloomington District 87 will not lose revenue. The City Council will meet in a special voting session today at 5:30 p.m. at the City Hall to consider adopting the guidelines drafted, in part to address the school district's concerns. District 87 is worried about the erosion of its tax base over the life of a TIF district, which typically lasts up to 23 years. Quote, "We are in the economic development business," said Mayor Terry Renner. "We have lots of taxing bodies who have no objection to that. The only taxing body which has any objection at this point seems to be District 87. That does not mean we will not listen. We listen and we have to balance interests and move on," end quote. A TIF district diverts property tax revenue in a specified area into a fund for economic development, such as incentives or infrastructure improvements. As property tax revenue increases in a TIF district because of those improvements, the additional tax revenue is diverted into the TIF fund. Taxing bodies get only what they would have gotten if no improvements were made. Quote, "I think there probably is some bad blood when you had 54 blocks of downtown as part of a single TIF," said Renner, referencing the massive downtown Bloomington TIF district, which spawned 49 redevelopment agreements from 1986 to 2009. "That is not the case now. I think our practice of using TIF has been very conservative," added the mayor, end quote. The city has two TIF districts, one along the Empire Street corridor, which includes the former Colonial Plaza Shopping Center, and another comprising three blocks in southwest downtown. Until the guidelines are addressed, the city has put on hold creation of an East Washington Street TIF district, which would include the former Bloomington High School just east of downtown. District 87 officials propose limiting the duration of development agreements and the cost to taxing bodies or reimbursing the taxing districts for the diverted property tax revenue. The city staff did not include those requested revisions in the proposed TIF resolution. Quote, "To do so would equate to tying the City Council's hands in its potential future economic development dealings with private developers and put the city at a disadvantage compared to other communities in the state of Illinois, which are successfully leveraging the TIF tool to attract private investment in the form of public-private partnership," end quote. City Community Development Director Bob Mart and Economic Development Coordinator Austin Grammer stated in a memo to the council. Instead, city staff recommended setting up a system where TIF-related issues are discussed at multiple forums prior to the council's establishment of any new TIF district or consideration of a new development agreement. To improve communication with the taxing bodies, the proposed resolution includes a measure to provide them with notice of at least 3 business days before the council takes final action on any TIF-related item. The city also is considering a TIF district to redevelop the former Electrolux property located at 807 North Main Street, north of downtown. End of article. Daily Digest, Railroad Tie Work Scheduled, El Paso. TPW Railroad will begin June 26 to replace tie lines in the rail line which runs from El Paso to Chenoa. Each road will be closed 3 or 4 days. Tentative schedule includes June 26, County Road 2600 East, June 27, Walnut Sidewalk, Sycamore Sidewalk, Lumberwalk Crossing, El Paso Walking Trail, and County Road 1500 East. June 28, County Road 1600 East and County Road 1800 East. June 29, Western Avenue and Gridley, Woodford Street and Sidewalk, and Market Street. June 30th, North Ford Street, County Road 2180 East and County Road 2280 East, and July 1st, County Road 2480 East. End of article. Bromen grads to open practices in Bloomington Normal. A program to provide young doctors with experience and patients with health care in Central Illinois will have a greater community benefit beginning today. Three doctors who graduated Friday night from Advocate Bromen Medical Center's Graduate Medical Education Program will remain in Bloomington Normal to begin their practices. Young doctors remaining in Central Illinois following their graduation from the program isn't a unique case, but it is unusual. Since Bromen began its graduate medical education program in 2002, 50 doctors have graduated. Nine have remained to begin their practices in Central Illinois, including the three who graduated Friday night, said Lynn Hutley, Advocate Bromen Public Affairs Coordinator. Eight of the nine have been residents of the three-year family residency program, including three who graduated Friday night, Hutley said. One was a resident of the seven-year neurosurgery residency. The program also includes a four-year neurology residency. Following graduation, Dr. Daniel Cunningham of Bloomington will join Bloomington Primary Care at 9 Heartland Drive in Bloomington. Dr. Andrew Quito of Shorewood will join Advocate Medical Group Normal Family Medicine at 1300 Franklin Avenue in Normal. And Dr. Karen Sung of San Francisco will join Advocate Medical Group College Avenue, 1437 East College Avenue in Normal. Also graduating were Dr. John Dickinson of Tigard, Oregon, and Dr. Gregory Imbarato of Goshen, New York, who completed neurosurgical residencies. Dickinson will join Idaho Neurosurgery and Spine in Idaho Falls, Idaho, and Imbarato will begin a fellowship in cerebrovascular surgery with Lyerly Neurosurgery at Baptist Medical Center in Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Brooke Johnson of Horton, Michigan, graduated from the neurology residency and will begin a fellowship in neuro-ophthalmology at Illinois Eye and Ear Infirmary at the University of Illinois at Chicago. End of article. Rivian CEO to speak at EDC dinner. The leader of a company poised to bring massive economic development to the Twin Cities will be a keynote speaker at a Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council showcase this fall. Rivian Automotive CEO R.J. Scaringe will speak at EDC's annual Community Leaders Dinner. That October 9th event is less than 2 months before the company is slated to unveil its first electric vehicles at the Los Angeles International Auto Show. Quote, "This year has been an exciting year for the continuing development of Rivian Automotive," said Michael Grady, EDC's interim CEO, in a news release. "We are really looking forward to having RJ talk about the rapidly changing landscape of the automotive industry and how it will impact the future of McLean County," end quote. Rivian has hired about 50 workers at the former Mitsubishi Motors North America auto plant in West Normal, now Rivian's manufacturing hub. That startup needs to eventually have 1,000 employees there to secure all of about $50 million in state and local tax benefits. A 5-passenger Rivian pickup truck is expected to hit the market in 2020, followed by a 7-passenger SUV. Rivian has recently attracted more than $500 million in financing and national media attention, in part for its plan to build large vehicles rather than compete with electric car makers like Tesla. The dinner will be at 7 p.m. on October 9th at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel and Conference Center in Bloomington. Tickets are $60 per person, and table sponsorships will start at $750. Again, that event is on October 9th, which is a Tuesday. For more information, you may visit bn-biz.org. bn-biz.org. End of article. First book receives anonymous $20,000 donation. Bloomington. An anonymous donor has provided a running start to a fundraising campaign which will put books in the hands of more McLean County children. The nonprofit group First Book McLean County provides grants to Title I schools and summer literacy programs to fund purchasing books. During an annual fundraising event last week, the First Book group was presented with a $20,000 check through Illinois Prairie Community Foundation from an anonymous donor. Quote, we are very excited about this. It will help us with $35,000 in grant requests we've received so far to help kids this year, said Sheila Diaz, board member of First Book. Accompanying that large donation was a letter. These are difficult times for our schools and families, so your efforts are all the more needed and appreciated, wrote the donor. My anonymity helps to keep the focus where it belongs, on literacy and those working tirelessly to promote it. End quote. Since 2002, First Book McLean County has raised $632,593, distributed more than 121,500 books to local children, and partnered with more than 25 recipient groups, including Boys and Girls Club of Bloomington Normal, Heartland Head Start, and the Baby Fold. Quote, when a kid has a book they can put under their bed or on their bookshelf, they grow to love books. We hope to plant seeds for new readers, said Diaz. End of quote. To learn more or to donate to First Book McLean County, visit the McLean County team page at firstbook.org. End of article. Area calendar. Reservations Lunch and Learn Ag Edition. That will be held at noon on June 29th, which is a Friday, at the Hampton Inn, 2000 Grand Prix Drive in Pontiac. The host is the Pontiac Chamber of Commerce. Chamber members will be charged $15. Lunch is provided. It is open to the general public. You may get a required reservation by calling 815-844-5131. 844-5131. Meet the Park. That's today from 2 until 6:30 p.m. at Munns Park Natural Habitat in Fairbury. The sponsor is Prairie Lands Foundation. It is from 2 to 4:30 with volunteer activities and 4:30 to 6:30 with a picnic. Children under 14 must be accompanied by an adult. Tuesday, registration, Bob Duncan Memorial Golf Outing, 8 a.m. on July 4th at the Fair Lakes Golf Club in Secor. It will benefit the Eureka American Legion. It costs $30 for members and $45 for non-members. Sorry, that went down a line. I couldn't see it. Space is limited. You may call 309-744-2222. 309-744-2222. Central Illinois Woodworkers Club, 7 p.m. tomorrow, Tuesday. Bill Bricklebaugh's shop, which is located at 8586 East 1650 North Road. Bricklebaugh's. Rural Bloomington. Members should bring show-and-tell items. Guests are welcome. You may call 309-826-0908. 309-826-0908. End of article. Names in the news. Graduate. Hudson. Dustin Biernink of Hudson graduated from Davenport University, Grand Rapids, Michigan at the end of the winter 2018 semester. Missouri State, Bloomington. Pantograph area residents were among recent graduates of Missouri State University at Springfield, Missouri. Code, BA Bachelor of, by city and with honors are Bloomington, Taylor Christopher, cum laude, BA Global Studies. Melissa Fisek, summa cum laude, BS Cell and Molecular Biology. Heather Morrison, BSE Elementary Education. And Sarah Nagel, summa cum laude, BS in Finance. Downs. Lucas Hammer, summa cum laude, BS, Construction Management. Gibson City, Emily Blyke, DPT, Physical Therapy. Normal, Anna Caldwell, BS, Management, HUM Resources, Human Resources, I'm sure that stands for, and Alex Jefferson, MAC, Accountancy. Space Academy, Bloomington. Montgomery Gold and Henry Gold of Bloomington recently attended Space Academy at the U.S. Space and Rocket Center, Huntsville, Alabama. Montgomery is an 8th grader and Henry is a 7th grader, both at Thomas Metcalf School in Normal. That week-long program promotes science, technology, engineering, and math while training students with hands-on activities and missions based on teamwork, leadership, and problem-solving. Love of Children Award, Bloomington. Weaver's Rent All, a family-owned local business, recently received the 2018 For the Love of Children Award at Children's Home and Aid's annual luncheon. Since 1990, Weaver's Rent All has donated furniture such as tables, chairs, shelves, and hanging racks to Children's Home and Aid annual Adopt a Family program so volunteers could store and sort the hundreds of donated holiday gifts for families in need. That annual furniture donation was begun by owners Tony and John Peterson. It continues through their sons, Anthony and Charles Peterson, who run the company today. Graduate, SIU Dental, Sarah Elizabeth Eidelman of Carlock has been awarded a Doctor of Dental Medicine degree from the Southern Illinois University School of Dental Medicine. She has a postgraduate residency at State University of New York Hospital in Syracuse, New York. Graduate, Bradley, Bloomington. Four Bloomington residents were among spring graduates from Bradley University in Peoria. Michael A. Slack earned a Doctor of Physical Therapy. Brittany L. Klein received a Master of Arts. Celia T. Arias and Jeremiah J. Britton received Bachelor's of Science degrees. End of article. Chariot Festival planned June 24th. The 7th annual Chariot Festival will be from 5 until 5 p.m., June 24th, this coming Sunday, at Miller Park, 1020 South Morris in Bloomington. The Chariot Parade will be from 1:30 till 3 p.m. The festival includes classical dance, music, snacks, children's activities, mantra meditation, and yoga. For more information, you may call 309-306-1378. End of article. Waterston Commons expansion begins. Bone Student Center project on schedule. Normal. Preparation work has begun for a two-story addition to the Waterston Commons dining facility, which will be completed this spring. The $11 million project will consolidate bakery and centralized food preparation. There also will be a small dining hall addition. Campus dining reserves are being used to pay for that project. Waterston Commons is the largest user of campus dining service, said David Gill, the university's Director of Facilities, Planning, and Construction Management. Some functions were formerly done at the Feeney Dining Center, which was torn down in 2016, along with two decommissioned residence halls, Atkin Colby and Hamilton Witten. Others were done in the John Green Food Service Building, which was on Gregory Street. Quote, this is going to consolidate operations in one place, said Gill. We expect some efficiencies and synergies with that, end quote. The project costs include kitchen equipment as well as construction expenses. Meanwhile, the Bone Student Center renovation project is continuing on schedule, according to Gill. The Bone project is being done in several phases. Among the Phase 1 elements scheduled to be finished by January of next year are construction of a new exterior stair from the South Courtyard to Milner Plaza, construction of the new Brown Ballroom pre-function and entry lobby, renovation of Brown Ballroom, and construction of a new parking level, main entrance, and welcome reception area. The formal groundbreaking for that Bone project was in September. The project is expected to be completed in April 2020. The $33 million project has been described as transformational for campus, providing a more welcoming front door to the university. Work also will begin shortly to replace the Milner Plaza deck. That deck acts as a roof for Milner Library first floor space. Water leakage from the plaza deck has damaged interior spaces. Core Construction, the contractor for the Bone Student Center project, also is handling the Milner Plaza project, which will provide smooth coordination between the two adjacent projects, said Gill. Families cheer on athletes. Summer games draw crowds to Bloomington Normal during Father's Day weekend. John O'Brien likes to joke with his kids every day is Father's Day. Similarly, he said, every day is like the Special Olympics Illinois Summer Games for people with disabilities. O'Brien of Oak Park said his daughter Jackie, 14, is eager to compete in the annual event in Bloomington Normal every year. Quote, for someone with special needs, every day is a new day and a new challenge to overcome, he said. Jackie competed in a bocce ball tournament Saturday with help from her sister Margaret, 18. O'Brien also helped Jackie apply sunscreen and stay cool beneath the scorching sun. You better believe that. He teared up as he described Jackie's personality. If you're hurting in any way, it's all she can think about. She's sensitive and sweet, he said. O'Brien was not the only proud parent at Saturday's games. Nearly 11,000 people attended the events, including athletes, their families, coaches, and volunteers. Due to extreme temperatures, all outdoor games were canceled Saturday afternoon, but continued Sunday until noon. Chris Winston, Chief Marketing Officer at Special Olympics Illinois, said the cancellation aimed to keep athletes and attendees healthy. This year marks the 50th anniversary for Special Olympics. In 1968, people with intellectual disabilities were in institutions or their homes, not out in the world. Today, they are working and going to school. Special Olympics shines a light on their abilities, not their disabilities, said Winston. For the next 50 years, Winston said, the organization aims to focus on handing those reins to athletes. We want them to be the leaders and teach us more, he said. The weekend games, including gymnastics, swimming, soccer, track and field, and powerlifting, take place on the ISU campus and other venues. Andrea Salinas of Round Lake cheered from the sidelines of the long jump space where her son Jacob, 15, took running leaps into a sand pit. He builds confidence, social skills, and the importance of competition. He is autistic and shy, but when he comes here, he lets himself shine and compete with people on his same level, said Salinas. Athlete Aaron Lowe, 24, took a break from the heat and activity by taking a nap in the shade near his dad, Ron Lowe of Quincy. Being his dad made me more aware of the Special Olympics community. We are blessed to be involved. It is so much fun to attend. The family could be fighting like cats and dogs, but as soon as you get here, it all goes out the window and you have a blast, said Ron Lowe. Normal Community West High School freshman Andrew Coates, 14, and Blake Messerol, 14, teamed up to toss bocce balls. Coates has been a student mentor for athletes for several years. I do sports myself at school. Some kids do not have the same opportunities. I want to give those kids a chance to enjoy sports like I do, said Coates. Most people think there's so much people with disabilities cannot do. We need to change that thought process. On the field of Hancock Stadium, Chris Hood of Normal hurled a javelin across the turf. He has been competing in SOI for 15 years and taken home nearly 60 medals. It is a great chance for him to have an achievement and be part of a team, said his friend and coach John Kieswetter of Normal. Hood said the experience builds you up. This is all about managing your self-esteem. It is nice when more people come out because we perform better when there's a crowd, said Hood. The summer games are open to the public to attend. You may visit soill.org. /event/summer-games for Sundays for schedules. End of article. The following divorces were recently finalized in McLean County Circuit Court. McCoy, Marshall and Melinda Bose McCoy. McGuffin, Janice and Delaney McGuffin. Osborne, Lori and James Osborne. And Goff, G-A-U-F, Linda and David Goff. End of article. Connect extends hours of service. 4 bus routes to run later starting on August 19th, which is a Tuesday. Normal. Twin City residents will soon have another way to get home late in the evening. 4 Connect transit routes will be extended from about 9 p.m. to about 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday starting August 19th to provide better service for Bloomington Normal and help those working evening shifts and taking night classes, said General Manager Isaac Thorne in a news release. The affected routes are the green, lime, red, and yellow, which serve areas including downtown Bloomington, Uptown Normal, both Walmart stores, the shops at College Hills, Eastland Mall, and Heartland Community College. The yellow route, which serves Heartland, will be extended only during the school year. The other changes are effective year-round. One route, the Redbird Express, which circles the ISU University campus, already runs until about 3 a.m. every day. The green route runs until about 2:30 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays when ISU is in session. Other Connect transit routes run between 6 a.m. and about 9 p.m. The Bloomington Normal bus system will run 2 less popular routes, the brown and tan, every hour instead of every 30 minutes, so changes will be cost neutral overall, said Thorne. The system has tweaked routes every few months since a controversial full overhaul in August 2016. Officials said then they hope to provide more timely and easy-to-use service in a cost-effective manner. The lime and pink routes will change July 17th. The lime route will stop at concrete pads and shelters near Walmart in Bloomington in both directions. The northbound route will skip its turn at Bettis Drive and instead turn at Valley View Drive, make its loop to Walmart, and turn north from Bettis. The lime route also will run on White Oak Road, Hovey Avenue, and Parkside Road near College Avenue, rather than continue directly on College. That change will allow closer access to Midwest Fiber, McLean County Unit 5, and other locations, though a stop at Cassidy Road and College will be eliminated. The pink route in North Normal will run from Linden Street to Shelbourne Drive and School Street, rather than continue directly on Linden. It will serve McKnight Street rather than turning around at Northfield Drive. Ridership on Shelbourne at Larry Court and Charlotte Drive averaged 10 to 15 rides a day on the Olive Route. By providing these riders with more frequent service from the Pink, we feel ridership will grow, according to the news release. Adding stops closer to Starplex, Movie Theater, and Sky Zone on McKnight should increase ridership. End of article. This has been Susan Over reading to you from the first half of the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, June 18th. At this time, we will take a short break.